you are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week 5 in the final week of our series, Translation Please, A Simple Guide to Big Words. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
I know there is some bit of debate out there when it comes to smartphones, and I can tell you in the course of that debate, I am typically a pretty firm Apple iPhone kind of guy as opposed to the whole Android thing. But I will admit to you that there is a feature on, I think it's the newest Google Pixel phone. There's a new feature that I actually think is pretty darn cool. I'm an iPhone kind of guy, but there's a feature on the new Google Pixel I think is worth paying attention to. It's the live translate feature. Any of you know about this? You might have the Google Pixel phone. Any of you seen the commercial? This is just for fun. I love the commercial. It's a neighborhood basketball court where pickup games are being played, and there's a dude with a megaphone who's keeping the crowd entertained. He's keeping the next one on the court, and he's keeping the whole competition going. And he's got this megaphone, and at one point there's this big, huge, bald white dude that taps him on the shoulder, and in a foreign language that sounds kind of Eastern European or something, he speaks into his phone, and then he holds his phone up to the megaphone, and the Google Pixel in that electronic, Siri sounding kind of voice translates, "I got next," into the megaphone, and the crowd goes wild. Okay, I'm going like, this is a pretty cool feature to me, the live translation deal, if it really works. It's pretty cool to be able to go anywhere in the world and to be able to communicate rather easily with people that don't speak the same language as you. I'm going, that's a genius feature on a phone. And it got me thinking, Christianity needs a phone like this. I mean, if you really think about this, I'm going like, man, the entire Big C church, everybody all across the planet, every denomination, man, we need to come together for a phone or an app like this. We got to pool all of our resources and all of our intelligence to come together to create a live translation feature for all of the big or confusing or religious or theological or just the churchy sounding words that we use in church. Because let's face it, Christians and pastors and church leaders are notorious for using certain words in church, just assuming that everybody knows what they mean, which is not always the case. And so that's why I think, man, Christianity, man, Christians, we need the translation feature. We need the Christian version of Rosetta Stone. Remember that? The software that would teach you a foreign language? I'm like, you could use that. We could use that in church every now and again, in my opinion. Okay, well, I'm sorry to be the one to inform you that there is, unfortunately, there is no Christian Rosetta Stone. There's no Christian Google Pixel to help translate some of the words that you hear. But here's the good news. We here at Mid-Current Church, we still want to do our part to help you when it comes to some of the confusing words and phrases and concepts that we use in church. And that's why we created this series that you heard Sam allude to, Translation Please. We wanna provide for you as best we can. We wanna provide a simple guide to some of the big words, some of the confusing words, some of the churchy sounding words that we use in church. And whether you've been in church your whole life or maybe this is your first time ever, here's the deal. We just don't want you to be confused. We don't want you, we don't want you guessing, or we don't want you just kind of filling in the blanks on your own when it comes to some of the things that you hear in church. And so the goal of this series has been to help make significant spiritual ideas or concept or words, to make significant spiritual ideas more accessible to everyday people just like you who are sitting in these seats each and every week. And today is the final week in this series. There's plenty more words we could help translate for you. Maybe we'll revisit this series again in the future. But today, at least for now, is the final week in this series. So we're gonna put one last word under the microscope. Ultimately, it's a word and it's an idea and it's a concept that's really, really, really significant to the lives of faith that we live, but it's also a word that I think most people get the wrong idea about these days. People, I think, hear this word get tossed around. You know, a lot of times they hear it in church. They might even use it for themselves, but I think fewer and fewer people today know what this one word really means and what it's really suggesting. And what they do know about it, if they've heard it or used it before, I think what they do know about it makes them think that it's a word or a concept that is really just kind of pretty outdated. What they do know about this word, I think, gives them the idea that, like, well, you know, I don't think it really applies to our lives today, you know, as Jesus followers much today. But here's the deal. It does still apply. And it is really significant to the lives that we live. And so that's what I want to talk about today. You ready for the fourth and final word of the series translation, please? Here it is. Today's word is the word Sabbath. Okay, you heard this word before? Anybody? A quick show of hands. There's some hands going up. Okay, some of you have heard it, no doubt. Whether you realize it or not, maybe you're going like, what in the world does that mean? Maybe you do have some sense. Whether you realize it or not, either way, you are in a sense kind of participating right now in the observance and a part of the Sabbath day. For Christians, Sunday is considered to be the Sabbath day. For Jews, Sabbath is typically sundown on Friday until sundown on Saturday. Either way, whether it's Jews or Christians or Saturday, Sunday, either way, here's the problem. I don't think many people today have a real clear understanding of what the Sabbath is and what it's not and what it's asking of us and what it's not and what to do with it and what it's intended for and why it matters and if it's really even a thing anymore. In fact, I saw a cartoon online this week that said it all. There's a little girl walking with her brother, and in the little word bubble above her, the little girl, she says, our grandfathers called it the Sabbath, our fathers called it Sunday, and then her brother pipes in with a little word bubble of his own. He said, and we call it the weekend. I mean, that's so true, right? With each new generation, I think the idea of a Sabbath day slowly begins to fade away. It's kind of like, it's just becoming kind of a thing of the past. As the modern day Christian knows that you really don't have to do that one anymore. And that's too bad. That's, you know, kind of the reputation that the Sabbath day is getting at. That's too bad, because a Sabbath day is a really important thing. It's so important, this is how we know, it's so important that God included some instructions about a Sabbath day in the Ten Commandments. This was his top 10 list for you and for me. And in it, he included instructions about a Sabbath day. Look at into the Old Testament. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Here's what God says. He puts this in the top 10 list. He says, remember to observe the what? The Sabbath day by keeping it holy. He says, you've got 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. The seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest. That's actually what Sabbath means. It comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to cease or to rest. And so for us, it's meant to be a day that commemorates the original seventh day in which God rested after completing the creation of this little thing that we refer to as planet Earth. Okay, days 1 through 6, God created the sun, the moon, the stars, the sea, the sky, the land, and the trees, and the flowers, and the birds, and the fish, and the animals, and even humankind. And then it says on the seventh day, he rested. And he's asked us to do the same thing. And that's a really important thing for us. But strangely enough, I think this look at the idea and what it means to cease or to rest, I think it's also the concept of it that God has asked us to rest, which is a good thing. I think this concept is also where we start to get the wrong idea. It explains what it means. It's a day of rest. But I think it's also where we start to get the wrong idea about what observing the Sabbath is all about. See, in my opinion, here's what I think, that if you have any concept about what observing the Sabbath day is all about, or if you have any memories from your childhood, or you know, about what your parents made your family do as a way to honor the Sabbath. My guess is that the picture that you have, of the Sabbath day is just a picture, it's just a memory of all the stuff that you couldn't do. Right? Because the Sabbath day, on the Sabbath day, you can't do anything, right? Yeah, you can't go to work, can't go to a friend's house, can't drive to the movie theater, you can't go grocery shopping, you can't mow the lawn, you can't do something fun. These days, you can't even go to Chick-fil-A because their owner, he closed it on Sundays as a way to honor the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day ruins everything, doesn't it? Can't do anything. See, unfortunately, I think this is kind of the attitude that we get. That's how we feel. Like, you can't do anything. Sabbath day ruins all the fun. And when this is our understanding of a Sabbath day of rest, when we think it's just all about what we can't do, what God said was not allowed for us to do, I think this is what starts to give us the wrong idea about God. I think this kind of picture or understanding of a Sabbath day is what makes people go like, man, like, what's up with a God who said to you just like can't do anything on a certain day of the week? I think this is the kind of idea that we generate that makes people go like, man, what's up with a God who says you just got to sit around for a whole day as a way to show you're committed to him, right? And it's God has asked us to take a day where we rest. But when we get a little too far, I mean, this idea that if we love God, we just do nothing, I think people go like, what is up with this, right? I think for some people, it starts to feel a little rigid, it feels a little outdated, and therefore, it's often of little interest to us, and then we don't really do anything about it, and then we miss out. We miss out on the good that it was intended for, because in our heads, it's only about, maybe this is true for you, in our heads, it's only about what we're, so, you know, we're not supposed to do. The truth is, Midcurrent, a Sabbath day, it is absolutely about a day of rest and of trust and what God is going to do. But the truth is, a Sabbath day is a whole lot more than just what you're not supposed to do. That's actually not it at all in many ways. And what it is about is illustrated for us really well in the New Testament. That's what I want to look at in a minute here. You see, Jesus' disciples, they are caught. The story we're going to read here in just a second. Jesus' disciples, they are caught doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing on the Sabbath day. And the religious leaders of that day, they confront Jesus about it. And Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach them all a lesson about the Sabbath day. And it's the same lesson that I think so many of you need to learn as well. So if you would, turn your attention to the side screens with me. And we're going to look at what one of Jesus's own disciples, Mark, what he actually recorded himself in the letter that is now known as the Gospel of Mark. And so here's what he writes. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. How could they? Okay, verse 24, it says, the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Okay, the religious leader's not happy. Here's what you need to know before we keep moving on. These religious leaders, the Pharisees, they are threatened by Jesus and by the influence and by the authority that he is developing. And they've been in a recent and kind of an ongoing string of clashes with Jesus, trying to discredit him. And here, they think they've got him. They're going, aha, right? We got you, right? Your disciples aren't supposed to be doing that. And they're going, man, we got you. You're busted. They're not supposed to be harvesting grain. They're not supposed to be working. They're not supposed to be doing anything today. And so they're essentially, in confronting Jesus, they're trying to discredit him. They're trying to say, hey, what a fake. What they're trying to like get people to realize, man, what kind of religious leader lets his followers go around breaking the rules of the Sabbath? Who does he think he is? And Jesus, he's so brilliant, right? He's cool, at least I imagine him to be like, yeah, cool, I'll handle this, right? He's so brilliant. And his response to them, he uses kind of their own playbook against them, right? He references a story in a scenario in the Old Testament scripture, of which these guys would have been experts in. He references a story that they would have known full well to show them that there ultimately is kind of a precedent, in a sense, for when and why, you know, these kinds of, you know, religious requirements can be broken. And so he references this old story with King David, but then here he wraps it up like this. This is ultimately what I want you to hear most. Here's how he concludes his response to the Pharisees in this moment. He says to them this. He says, the Sabbath day, this is his conclusion to the whole thing. He says, the Sabbath day was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Let me read that again. This is his answer to them. They're going, man, I can't believe your disciples are doing this. Don't they know the rules of the Sabbath? And Jesus says, look, fellas, the Sabbath day, he says, was not made to meet the needs of people. The Sabbath day was made to meet the needs of people and not the people the requirements of the Sabbath, okay? The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people and not the people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So he says, the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. He's saying, fellas, I'm calling the shots. I'm telling you this, that people, you got to understand this. People were not created to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created for the people. For you and me, for us. It was meant for our good. It wasn't the other way around. It was meant for us. It was a gift. It was not some obscure requirement to you know, just force you to sit still against your will, nor was it a license just to, you know, be lazy at one day a week. In fact, I read a quote from the former president of a well-known denomination that said this about the Sabbath day and our instruction to keep it holy. He said, if we merely lounge about doing nothing on the Sabbath, then we are not keeping the day holy. And this, I like what he says. He says, the Sabbath day calls for constructive thoughts and acts. So Midcurrent, when we put this all together, the idea that comes right from Jesus' own teaching, we put this together, the idea that we are not created to just meet the needs of the Sabbath, but that it was created to meet our needs. And when it's ultimately about constructive thoughts and actions and our intentional focus on God and his trust and his provision and the work in our lives, then here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want to suggest to you today about Sabbath rest. Sabbath rest is not about God stopping you from something. It's about God strengthening you for something. Okay? God's not a buzzkill. He's not some old, boring, old-fashioned God that says, if you love me, you'll pick one day and sit on your butt in boredom and misery. If you love me. He's not some, you know, some rigid God that just wants to prevent you from doing the things that ultimately you want to do. It's quite the opposite. He wants to prepare you for more of it. Scripture actually even says that you are God's workmanship. You're his masterpiece, and that he prepared in advance great things for you to do and to accomplish and fulfill. He says that he's got big things planned for you. Right, a bright future for you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a bright future. And he just knows that in order for you to experience all of that as he intended, you just gotta learn to press pause every now and again. It's the only way to do the things he's called you to do. Let me come at this from just a slightly different direction here and ask you a question. When it comes to exercise, when it comes to strength training, here's the question. You can answer out loud if you know, or maybe it's rhetorical. But when it comes to exercise and strength training, do you know when it is specifically that your muscles increase in size? It's not in the act of exercise itself. It's not in the moment when you are racking ridiculous amounts of weight. It's in the recovery. It's during the time when you rest. That's actually when your muscles grow, when they increase in size. Interestingly enough, the act of exercise itself, the act of lifting huge weights, that act itself actually, I don't know how many people know this, this is fascinating to me. The act of exercise itself actually breaks muscle down. Okay, it creates micro tears in your muscles, and it's only during the times of rest that cells start to repair themselves. Listen to this explanation that I found in an online health journal about this week. It says, during recovery, not during your impressive feats of strength in the gym, during recovery, satellite cells repair the microscopic tears sustained during exercise. They replicate, mature, and fuse to the damaged muscle fibers, forming new muscle protein strands that increase the size and the strength of the muscle to ensure that it can keep up with future demand. People, don't miss this. The exercise itself, the activity itself, destroys the very muscle that you are trying to build. It's only the period of rest that your muscle actually grows stronger. Midcurrent, here's the truth. Some of you are destroying the very gift that you offer to the world, the very muscle that God designed you to flex by never taking a break from it. By never allowing it, what God created you to recover, right? You don't have to be a Jesus follower in order for that to get your attention and to ring your bell a little bit. You don't have to be a Jesus follower in order to acknowledge that, yeah, that actually doesn't sound like a great idea. To never take a break from the thing that you do best in order that on the other side you might be able to do it even better and for longer. Sabbath rest, friends. It was not God's attempt to just stop you from something. It was God's attempt to strengthen you for more of it. It wasn't God's intent to prevent you from something that you ultimately felt like you should be doing, but it was to prepare you for more of it. He's not trying to restrict you from something, but to raise you up for it by taking time to rest and to recover and to focus and to trust in him and in his provision for you. So here's what I'm asking you to do. I want to make a suggestion for you, something that you would think about maybe this week, something that you would be in conversation with the people closest to you. Here's what I'm asking you to do, to consider this right here. Build a regular rhythm into your life that builds you up to do more of the things that God has called you to do, or to be more of the person that God has called you to be. Build a regular rhythm into your life that builds you up to do this, right? A regular rhythm into your life, somehow, some way. Doesn't have to be Sunday. I don't think God is that rigid. I said, nope, it's gotta be Sunday, right? It doesn't have to be a particular day of the week, but it does have to be regular. It does have to be a priority in your life, something that you commit to, something that you decide on, right? One of the most helpful ways that I've been encouraged to practice Sabbath in today's day and age has been like this. I think I've shared it here before, but here's one of the best ways that I've been encouraged to practice Sabbath in today's day and age, like this: to divert daily, to withdraw weekly, and to abandon annually. That's helpful for me, to think of it like that, to have the encouragement as I seek to build rhythms into my life to build me up to do more of what God has asked me to do. I think of it like this: how do I divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually, right? You gotta find a way to get the rest that you need in small doses on a daily basis so that you can be at your best for the people and the places that need you most. Just little moments here and there to keep you fresh. That's diverting daily. And then withdraw weekly, right? In a sense, this is kind of the truest sense of Sabbath, right? On the seventh day, God rested. And so you gotta figure out how to do the same, whether it's Sunday or whether it's Tuesday or whether it's Wednesday afternoon to Thursday afternoon. I don't think the day matters as much as your commitment to do some kind of weekly withdrawal and recovery, and then abandon annually. Go on vacation, shut down your email, check out, disappear for a minute, get off the grid, let someone else handle it. Tell someone you decide and allow yourself to recover and to recalibrate and to re-energize yourself for the things that God has called you to do. Now, I wish that I could get real specific and go. So here's the very thing that you need to do. I wish I could get real specific for you about what to do, what it is that you need to do to find Sabbath rest, but I'm not sure I can do that. The reality is that I think it's going to be different for everyone, but here's something helpful that I want to suggest to you. It's advice from a Jewish rabbi named Abraham Herschel, and he says this. Maybe this is helpful for you. He says, if you work with your hands, Sabbath with your mind. If you work with your mind, Sabbath with your hands. I found that to be a helpful way to think about Sabbath in today's world. If you work with your hands, Sabbath with your mind. If you work with your mind, Sabbath with your hand. I don't know what it's going to look like for you, but maybe that's a good place to start, right? And when I think about it, this idea, right? This idea of you work with your mind, Sabbath with your hands, you work with your hands, Sabbath with your mind. When I think about this, I think it makes a lot of sense to me. And I think in a way, it started to help me understand that this is in part, I think, a small reason why I love to play basketball as a form of, rest, I don't know, and not just exercise. But here's the deal. In my work as a pastor, I work almost exclusively with my mind for like 48 out of 52 weeks of the year. All I do is read and study and write, and I have to, you know, do so creatively and theologically, and I'd like to do so humorously and in a way that's engaging and inspiring and true to scripture, and I like to do it in a way that's easy to follow and that applies to people who have been in church their whole life and people who are sitting in church for the first time, and I got to figure out a way to do it all in 30 minutes or less. Okay, and I'm not complaining about this because I love to do this, but I will say that it's exhausting at times to have my mind in gear all of the time. And I'm starting to realize that maybe this is why playing basketball sometimes 5 days a week at 5 a.m. in the morning after I went to bed at 11 p.m. is actually refreshing. I've started to realize maybe it's a form of Sabbath rest for me. Maybe it's a way that I divert daily. I work with my mind constantly, and so I Sabbath with my hands and my legs and my body and my vicious crossover and my downtown shot. No, okay. I start to think, man, maybe this is what it's about. It's not rest that's stopping me from doing anything, but maybe it's the kind of rest that is strengthening me to be better at the very thing that God has called me to do in another place in my life, to put my mind back into gear. And let me just say this to cover all my bases. I'll say this to the fellas in particular in here. This is not an invitation to ditch your wife and your family for your favorite hobby. Like, hey man, Pastor Stan said to take off for the day, right? It is an invitation though for you to invite your spouse and to invite your kids and to invite your family into a conversation about what you need to build into your life that would build you up to do more of what it is that God has called on you to do. It might be something more. Basketball, that's just a small example. I'm not saying, boom, I figured out, you know, Sabbath rest. But that's just a small example of me trying to figure out, man, what is it that I do constructively that allows God to be strengthening me? Whatever it is, we just got to figure out and have conversation with the important people in our life about what it is that we do, what we build into our life that allows God to build us up to be more of who he created to be. Mid-Current, what if we all did something like this more on a daily or on a weekly or on an annual basis? I'm thinking to myself, man, let's be a church, a community together that starts to recapture the power and the significance of a Sabbath kind of rest. Not a day just to kind of veg out for God. Not a day meant to stop us from working, but a day meant to strengthen us for the important work that God has called us to do, right? It's a day meant to encourage us to do something that would allow the work of God to continue in us. It's not about just stopping the work. It's a day where we do what we can to allow the work of God to continue in us in the way that we need the most. That the truth is, friends, I really do believe, as I look around this room, right? And some of you I know really well, and some of you I'm just getting to know, but either way, here's what I know. As I look around this room, right, I'm going, man, God has, I know this. God has given all of us here in this room, this service or the service before, everyone who makes up this place called Midcurrent, God has given us all here some pretty serious and some pretty significant and some pretty unique muscles to flex in the world. Some pretty serious and some pretty significant gifts and talents and hearts that this world desperately needs more of. And I can't help but imagine the impact that we would have, the impact that Midcurrent Church would have in this world and in our families and in our communities and in our businesses if more of us looked at the pause button as less of what God was trying to stop us from and more of what he was trying to strengthen us for. We looked at it as more as the muscles of trust and faith and provision and preparation that God was trying to build in us. It's not what God's trying to stop us from always. Sometimes it's about what he's trying to strengthen us for. It's a significant piece, I think, of what a Sabbath day of rest is all about. So let's be people. Let's be people. Let's be a church as much as we can that looks in all that we do to build into our lives regular rhythms that would build us up to be more of the people that God has called us and designed us to be. Let me pray for us. God, I do give you thanks for the amazing gifts that you have given to us as a church, God, collectively, all the people who walk in and out of this place, all the people who consider this place home or they consider themselves to be friends of Midcurrent Church, God, what an amazing gathering, assembly of people who I know, God, you have gifted in some unique ways. God, if we are your workmanship, if we are your masterpiece, God, it's easy for me to see the ways that you have gifted your people here in significant ways, God. And we want those gifts of ours. We want those muscles that we have to flex in this world. God, we want to figure out a way to flex those muscles in greater ways. God, we want to figure out a way to let those muscles of faith and trust and generosity and compassion, God, we want to let those figure out a way to allow those muscles and those gifts and those talents to increase in a way that would impact your kingdom here more. And God, this may be a little counterculture. It's maybe against our very nature to want to do good, but God, help us to figure out where and how and when we need to press pause, actually, so that those gifts might expand in us, God, so that those muscles might increase in us to keep up with the future demand and to keep up with the future opportunity that you have prepared for us to do the things that you've called us to do, God. So would you be in our conversations, God? Would you be clear to us in our own times of silence or of prayer, of devotion, God? Would you help us to figure out, because it's not black and white, God, that's what makes some of this, you know, stuff in the life of faith, it's hard. It's not black and white, but would you help us to figure out how and where and when that we need to press pause, God, so that your work could continue in us in a way that we need it most, in a way that the world needs it most because of what is developing in us. God, help us to be people who rest well in you and put our trust and put our hope in you and what it is that you've called us to. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.